Hello listeners, welcome to the latest episode of Simply Save podcast. New fund offers are coming thick and fast. Mutual fund investors suddenly have a lot of options to invest from. But what you should be doing about this? With so many funds coming your way, should you be adding these also to your portfolio? Remember, you might already have quite a few sitting in your portfolio. So does it make sense to invest into a few more schemes? Or should you stick with your portfolio, which you already have? Under what conditions does it make sense to invest into a new fund? In today's episode of Simply Save podcast, we are joined by Kalpesh Achar, certified financial planner and registered investment advisor, who will be talking to us about what investors should be doing and how they should be dealing with this flurry of NFOs that we are seeing right now. Hi Kalpesh, welcome to our episode of Simply Save podcast.
Thank you Josh.
You have helped several individuals and families to achieve their financial goals. So we thought we'll connect with you to talk about the recent surge of NFOs that we are seeing in the mutual fund industry. We are seeing this wave of mutual fund NFOs with some seeing record inflows, right? So how do you think investors should approach these NFOs?
See, Josh, what has happened is that, in the last 1.5 years, and I'm precisely talking about the period of, say, for example, April 20. Okay, since then, there has been absolutely, the right word is a surge, or I would say a flurry of NFOs which have been launched. And it has not happened in a lump sum manner. It's happened gradually, and it's now, I think, reached its crescendo, to say the least. Now, the categories and the themes which have been brought about by the AMCs in these NFOs is that the same ESG funds, a lot of ESG funds have come out, a lot of thematic funds have come out, some quite good ideas have come out, but most of it are, I would say, the same old themes which have been, I would say, repackaged and represented to the retail investors. And the reason for that also is a little bit, I would say, logical from the AMC perspective, because if you just go back in time, probably a year or so, a year and a half back from April 20, when the SEBI recategorization of funds happened, there was a lot of gaps which had to be filled up by the AMCs in the different categories. And probably that time, because the markets were not doing that well, there was a lot of stagnation in the movement and all those things. The AMCs probably didn't want to capitalize on that inertia or that dull movement. And they just stayed with it, and the gaps were left unfilled. Now, as soon as this rise in the markets came, the valuations dropped, and people started gaining more interest in equities. Obviously, the AMCs wanted to capitalize on this, and they started plugging the gaps. So what happened is the very routine categories, which are obviously important, I'm not taking away the importance of those categories, started resurfacing. So you had something like a flexi category or a balanced advantage category, and certain themes came up, like whatever was the need of the hour, and those started resurfacing. Now, because as we've been seeing, there's a lot of euphoria amongst the retail investors, and we are right now talking about NFOs, but a parallel euphoria is going on a larger scale in the IPO segment. So everybody wanted to capitalize and catch on to the running train, and no better time than this. So this was from what the retail investor has been doing over the last 1 and 2 years. And the AMCs have surely been serving like a hot flavored dish, one NFO after the other. And I think it's still on. And I don't think even in the near future, it's showing signs of any slowing down right now. So we can discuss going forward whether the pros or cons of it, but this is the scenario what has panned out thus far, Chesh.
Also, what we are seeing is, a lot of well-recognized fund houses, they are also launching NFOs, and, some of these NFOs have seen record inflows, right? So does it make more sense to go with NFOs of these well-recognized fund houses, which come with long track records, than say NFOs of fund houses, which are fairly new to the system? What's your take on this?
So there I have a little bit of a strong opinion that all the big fund houses or the well-known fund houses, which have been now for a couple of decades now, we could say, and they are the leaders in the MF industry. Now, those fund houses which have seen the good, bad and the ugly of the entire market, and they've run business cycles and they've been there, done that type of a thing, in everything. I find it a little appalling, to say the least, that they are coming up with schemes such as very routine schemes in the NFO thing, like a flexi cap or a multi cap category or something, and repackaging it as if it's a brand new thing or something which is never heard before, never seen before, and still harping on the retailer's mind with that 10 rupee NAV attraction. Now that is not a very great thing to do, because as seasoned advisors or seasoned mutual fund distributors would always propagate, that any NFO or any whatever new thing which comes out has to undergo a certain cycle, has to undergo certain market conditions, and the efficiency of that fund manager, that AMC, the pedigree, the thought process would all surface how they react to these different good and bad situations and weather the storm, in fact, to say the least, and then come out with flying colors or maintain status quo or stick to their benchmark. And that is when we actually decide on whether a retail investor should be having that fund in his portfolio or not. So there's a lot of, I would say, litmus test which, at least we as advisors make a fund undergo, rather than just subscribing to the NFO directly. So I find it a little appalling that, I would say it's like an older wine in an older bottle, not in a new bottle, but an older bottle being repackaged and being served out to the retail investors. And the figures which are coming out, just because people have that type of liquidity right now, the markets are doing great, no signs of any discomfort for anybody. The AMCs have surely garnered in a lot of positive response. And God forbid, I would always wish the market goes up day on day. But God forbid, if it comes down, and it will come at some stage of time. It's a business, it's a cycle. We all know that. It's a cliche to say that. And if some new investors who are caught in that illusion of a 10 rupee NAV, if they find their NAVs dropping down to 8 or 7, I think they will be very, very disillusioned. And that is exactly what we have seen in the period of 2008, when the crash happened then, and a lot of NFOs had come out at that point of time, which sent their NAVs crashing down. And the entire sentiment was at its low at that time. I'm not envisaging that situation again, neither am I trying to put in a fright. But the point here is that when there are extremely, well-performing funds, which are very robust, and we all propagate that, go into funds which have a good pedigree, run by a good fund house, then I really don't see the need that there is anything exclusive come up which would fit into a client's portfolio. One more thing, Josh, which I would like to add here, it's very important, that mutual funds stand for diversification. Why do we invest in mutual funds? Because we want diversification. We want specialization. We want somebody to monitor our funds in a more professional manner, because we are not experts at it. Now, how much of diversification can we have on year on year? How many flexi-cap funds can we have, be it from A fund house, be it from B fund house, be it from C fund house? And the retail investor keeps on, adding them, thereby jeopardizing his portfolio returns, which is an overlap of the same category of funds, but just by different fund houses. So it's quite a serious matter. We encounter, a new portfolio, a new client having a portfolio of, say, 20, 25 schemes. And what is his corpus? Not even more than 10 lakh rupees. So the point here is it's just getting into a very repetitive mode.
So what you're saying is that if the investor already has the scheme from the same category, then just stick with it. Whether the NFO is from a large fund house or a small fund house doesn't matter. If you have the scheme, which serves your purposes, then you stick with it, right?
No, so the question of a large fund house and a small fund house is two different things here. Because that also somewhere or the other comes to the past performance of the fund. Obviously, the bigger fund houses have a larger, showcase of performance to show, although that is not the right parameter to, you know, gauge anything. But there is obviously a good track record of these fund houses. And they have delivered in all situations, all market conditions. So obviously that large fund house which is there has got a sitting advantage over these small fund houses which is there. And, you know, it's very ironic, Jash, that it is this very large fund houses which are coming up with these NFOs more than the small fund houses right now. So that also is quite an ironic situation. And somewhere or the other, because of the ticket size or because of the, you know, the corpus size or something of the small fund house, where the element of the commission could be higher, probably. If I were to select a fund house, obviously, as on today, I would select bereft of the NFO story. I would obviously go with a very reputed and a big fund house, which has got a larger network, a reputed team, a good research, having a proper background. So I would go in with those things. Not that the small fund houses which are coming up are wrong or bad, but they need to prove themselves for a period of time.
So basically, what we are trying to understand, or I think what we are trying to say here, is that if you want to invest in an NFO, you go with an NFO of a large fund house, is it? Is that what you are trying to say?
No, I'm not trying to say. First of all, I'm not vouching for an NFO in the first place. If it is completely, you know, a unique theme, then I would talk about an NFO.
Right.
Now, here, if you're going to still talk about flexi caps and balance advantages and large and mid cap and all, I'm not at all going to be interested in that. Now, when we have a novel theme, or say, for example, even international funds, now that also has set into our system over the last 1 or 2 years, but that at least is a new theme. Okay. And whoever brings it out, so even today, the medium sized AMCs are now risen to the larger spectrum. So I would vouch for that if they're coming up with a novel theme. But the point is, what is it they are trying to offer? Has it got any novelty? Can it add value to a retail investor's portfolio? And more importantly, it's not a one-size-fits-all. So it is not necessary that even if you launch an international fund, every retail investor needs to have an international fund in his portfolio. It is not necessary. But it is obviously a novel idea. So there was a novel idea somebody came up with, I'm not naming the AMC, of they will invest only in the IPOs. Now, that's a novel idea. Okay, so the retail investor doesn't have to have the headache of selecting an IPO, but they would invest in the IPOs on their behalf. So that's a novel idea. I'm not saying it's a good idea or a bad idea, because the simple logic there is that tomorrow, what if the IPOs dry up? What if the IPO boom stops? Where is this NFO going to invest? Where is this scheme going to invest? So the point is, it has to be novel. So first of all, I'm not vouching that NFOs are required at any point of time. Only if there is a very novel idea which the AMC has to offer, then we would look at it. Second, we would look at it if it has, if it fits into a client's portfolio. Third, if it has got a, like, you know, the criterion to select for an NFO would be generally these 2-3 points. It has to be novel. It has to fit into a client's portfolio. If not, I would just go in for an open-ended fund, which is proving itself over the last, you know, 2 years, 3 years. And also the retail investor, if he's not, he's a DIY, he's a do-it-yourself type of a person. Okay. He needs to research about the NFO in totality. That is the more important thing. One more thing is, we need to understand the distributors are incentivized a lot. So even if there's an AMC having its roots in some bank or something, it could be a case where it is missold. So we have to be wary about that.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to ask you, because, you know, SEBI's new rules, in fact, incentivize pushing schemes which are smaller in size, right? So does that also create a situation where these NFOs are being pushed more by the intermediaries?
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah, because the regulation has been set out, the AMCs would be in that framework to capitalize on it.
But Kalpesh, also, you know, I still have that question in my mind, you know, why are... NFOs of these large fund houses seeing such large inflows? Is it because, you know, investors are investing on the basis of track record of these fund houses? Or, you know, is it just a case of these fund houses' distribution muscle along with, you know, the positive market sentiment that we are seeing?
So you answered the question, Jash, the second one, the latter one. It is the distribution muscle. obviously, and the euphoria. The mood is very, very optimistic amongst the retail investors right now. So that is the main thing. So distribution muscle is very strong, supplemented by the mood that, you know, nobody is thinking, you know, twice when an offer comes. And that too, if it's coming from a reputed fund house, that's what I said. It adds a lot of credibility in the mind of the retail investor that, you know, XYZ, which is, you know, seen all over the billboards and seen all over the place day in, day out, doing various activities. So if they are coming out with a NFO, it surely will, you know, be something much more better than anything else. So that is the main reason. And obviously the distributor muscle and the sentiment. So people, even who are investing through the direct plan or something, they are having that type of, I would say, liquidity available with them right now, which they are ready to put in an NFO. But I would say the unfortunate part, just here, is that it is being not rightly sold, that probably it's a new theme or you can invest or something. It's still being sold with the premise of that 10 rupee NFO. And that is what bites me the most. And I would just like to end with a parting thing that, you know, what you need in your portfolio is not more than 6 to 7 schemes. That's about it. That right. would include a couple of debt schemes, debt funds. That would include, you know, probably just 2 schemes from each category. You know, that's the solution which I would like to have. So probably if you have a couple of large caps, a couple of flexi caps, and 1 or 2 mid caps and small caps, I think your portfolio is done.
Right.
Now, and you just need to have it reviewed, monitor it, and, you know, keep a patient attitude. Don't try to, you know, make your portfolio complicated. That's my only thing. Keep it simple.
Right, right. Thanks, Kalpesh. Again, that really, really helps to sum it all up. And I hope investors, like I said, you know, benefit a lot from this. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Jesh.
That's all the time we have for today's podcast. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in, and keep listening to Simply Save. For any feedback, do write in to us at mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news and views, log on to moneycontrol.com.